This is Scott Becker with the Scott Becker Business Podcast. We're thrilled today to be joined by J.J. Wilson. J.J. is the co-founder and president of Adaton, but he's also former Special Forces, and I guess maybe once you're part of the Special Forces, you're never former Special Forces. Also a graduate of Yale, a person who worked as a consultant at BCG, one of the most sophisticated, great consulting firms in the country, and a lot more. We're going to ask J.J. to give us some advice about business today, talk about what he does, what Adaton does, and more. J.J., can you take a second to introduce yourself?
Yeah, Scott, thanks for having me. Obviously, I'm pleased to be joining you guys. I think you covered a lot of the high points by way of introduction. So at this point, live with my wife and three kids in the North Texas area. So we actually live up in Prosper, Texas, slightly north of Frisco, where, as we tell folks, the tollway finally ends. And I've been here since about 2015 when I finished up a grad school and joined BCG. So I've been in the startup world now for about 2 years, depending on how you count. And we're pretty excited about, you know, where we are as a company and the things we have ahead of us.
Well, take a moment and tell us about the company. Tell us a couple things about the company.
Yeah, so the company is Adaton PBC. Interestingly, we organize ourselves as a public benefit corporation rather than a traditional C corp, just so that we can be very proactive about putting a sense of mission at the forefront of what we do as a business. And part of that is coming with the backgrounds that we have, and I'm sure we'll talk more about, James, my co-founder, and I tend to approach everything with this kind of mission focus and this kind of obligation toward service. And we knew that when we wanted to go and do this startup thing and begin to play in the technology world, that we wanted to do it with some kind of an internal mandate that would serve to hold us accountable for making sure that we're doing something, not just for the betterment of shareholders, right, but also for the betterment of the broader public.
And what does Adaton, what do you do? What does the company do?
Yeah, so we build software. I can give you a little bit of the backstory, which kind of is how we got to this point. But I think, the abridged version was when James and I were both still active duty in the Army, a dearth of technology products, to help us go do the jobs that we had to do. Since getting out of the Army, he and I both had the opportunity to work in technology in one way or another. He at Palantir and then me at BCG. And at some point it becomes a question of be the change you want to see in the world, right? So as we looked around at the people that we cared about, friends and family, who were still in service, looked at, a lot of the technology tools that were available to service members and other groups of what we would call underserved technology populations. So think about first responders as an example, or heavy construction as an example, or facilities management as an example. People who have some level of training, right? They go to work, they wear hard hats or steel-toe boots or whatever, right? And they don't spend most of their time at a computer. And our view, there wasn't the same level of digital wherewithal, the same level of technology products to help those people day to day as there should be. And so we decided that if you can help to address those things, then you have a responsibility to go do that. And we decided to head down this path.
Oh, fascinating. So you were a member of the Special Forces. You also were a member of BCG and graduate from Yale. Of those three, which is the most stressful?
Oh, that's a great question. Different types of stress. I would say that the common thread throughout this, and I was just talking to my 11-year-old son about this several days ago, the constant source of stress is this sort of obligation to continually reinvent yourself, right? Which means that you sort of have to continually expose yourself to failure and be okay with that. And so I think part of just like how I grew up and how I was trained and the way I process stress, and I used to joke about this with my friends at BCG, there were times I would definitely be more nervous, have more butterflies prior to, a client meeting with an executive at at one of our customer firms, you know, than I would ever get jumping out of an airplane, right, or hopping into a Humvee to roll out on a mission in Afghanistan. So slightly different types of stress, and I understand it's probably not that way for everybody. But, I, you know, as I said, the common thread through all of these is this sort of continuous exposure to failure. And for my part, you know, I'd rather jump out of an airplane than have to go brief a CEO at very short notice. But maybe that's just me.
But talk about this. Talk about the military service and the special forces for a moment. What are there parts of it that are great fun, great camaraderie? You know, is it just awful? What is your sense of? Was it magnificent esprit de corps? Was it? Talk a little bit about that experience in the special forces.
Yeah, so a lot of the stuff that you touch on is what you think it is in terms of the camaraderie and the esprit de corps. As we used to joke, huge parts of it are like the most fun you'll ever have and never want to repeat again. But like, it's difficult outside of that context, right, where you're not working and living very closely with a group of folks who have a similar, very similar backgrounds, frequently very similar set of goals. To what you have, and you kind of have this cohesion, right, around what you as a unit want to go do, and you know, this vision that the sum of you will be greater than the individual part, right? And so, like, the friendships that you make, you know, are irreplaceable, right? And the bonds that you have, not just in combat situations, right, but in training missions. Some of my best friends today, 15 years later, right, are the guys that I went to basic training with. That level of kind of, you know, stress and common purpose, I think, you know, often facilitates the kinds of friendships that are very difficult to replace. And I knew when I was getting out of the Army. So I got out back in like 2013. I knew when I was getting out of the Army and then, you know, heading to Yale for business school and trying to figure out what I wanted to do next, that would be a critical thing for me to replace in my life, right? How do I find in the civilian world the same type of team dynamic, the same type of both, you know, professional relationship and personal friendship that I enjoyed while wearing the uniform?
But then, and how do you find that in civilian life? And you know, I have a close friend is a former Navy SEAL, and I always feel so inadequate around him that he must think, my God, what a weak human being I am compared to him as a Navy SEAL. Do people perceive themselves that way around people that were special forces guys? And how do you feel about, you know, in this civilian world, finding that camaraderie and so forth?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, there probably is some of that, like, early on in professional relationships, where people, you know, maybe they hear about what you used to do for a living, and you know, there's a little bit of, I don't know, apprehension, right, around, well, you know, the level of perspective that I have in my professional life is, you know, not the same as this person's. And I try to be in all of my professional relationships kind of proactive about disarming that. And part of it's like getting back to what we were discussing earlier, which is like, you know, the idea of jumping out of an airplane, right, or any of the other stuff that you do in the special operations community might sound sort of scary to you, right? A lot of what we're talking about now in this corporate context is very different and foreign and a little bit scary to me, right? So to the extent that you're able to establish common ground with things like that, frequently, you know, you can get past it pretty early on. And I think, you know, the place where it's helped me the most is I think about kind of the transition to business school, the transition to the corporate world, and what we see in a lot of what we do today, making a go of it in the startup world, is just kind of the perspective that you have in terms of the things that you have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, right? And so it's like, no matter how bad things got at business school, or, you know, how fast-paced and stressful things got with demanding clients and other folks at BCG, no matter how fast-paced and stressful things get with Aditon, you know, kind of end of the day, right, you're working with people who care about, you got plenty of water to drink, and nobody's shooting at you, right? So it could be a
right. There's no landmines. There's nobody shooting at you. And if
exactly.
It gets that bad, it's okay. In the big scene,
exactly.
It's okay. Nothing is the worst thing that happens literally is the middle-aged guy has the heart attack in the corporate world, whereas in Afghanistan, you're getting shot at landmines every day. And both are bad, but very different.
Both are bad, but very different, yes.
Fascinating. Talk about, just for one moment, well, I want to touch on Yale, BCG, two great institutions. Where did you learn more? Any thoughts on that?
So I think BCG, in part because of the time I spent there, and in part because of sort of the types of things you're doing in both places, right? So Yale for me was very much a, I've been in the Army, for 8 years, and I need to figure out how to transition to the civilian world and find something I think I will be good at there, right? And so, you know, the first year of business school was very much a transition period, right? It's like, how do I separate myself from more of a regimented military mindset? How do I, figure out how to forge relationships with my peers who don't necessarily have the same background that I have, and how do I find my way to the next spot, right? It was very much of, going into it, right, that it's a waypoint. Whereas with BCG, when I went into that job, obviously management consulting can be stressful with travel and other things like this, but going into that job, you don't know that that's a waypoint, right? And like, for all I knew at the time, BCG would be my, forever job to the extent that such things exist today. And I was there for longer. And just, in terms of learning, I think the type of work environment that you have at BCG, which really does replicate a ton of the things that I found most valuable about the Army, which is you work very closely with super high caliber people who are solving important problems, right? I think, that type of work environment, the range of things that I got to work on. So during my time at BCG, I was involved with cases ranging from eliminating waste in grocery stores all the way through multi-year digital transformations at Fortune 500 companies and everything you can imagine in between, right? Like the range of problems, the level of access that you have to decision makers, the caliber of the people with whom you work day after day, really was amazing. And, they don't teach you in business school, right, how to become a consultant. It's an apprenticeship model. And so, like, from where I started to where I ended up was just totally different.
And much, much more context-based, the actual working at BCG than at Yale a little bit. It just one bit abstract because you're learning with brilliant people. You're talking about theory, but when you're at BCG, you're solving real problems, trying to work on real problems with real clients.
Yeah. And maybe part of it is, again, the way I learned. And while I was at Yale, I had classes with leading minds when it comes to business and economics, Robert Shiller, Jeffrey Sonnenberg, who does the big CEO convention every year, Sonnenfeld, I got his name wrong. Andrew Metrick, who we did a class just, an entire semester deep diving on the meltdown in 2008. Tim Geithner was a guest instructor in that class, some of the best minds in the world, right? But it's still a little bit abstract, right? And for me to learn and improve and process these things, there has to be some sort of execution component, I think, really, for me to internalize, internalize the lessons, right, and go forward.
And another question, if you're working on a project with a senior leader at a company or you're working with a senior professor at Yale and they're not listening to you, do you ever step back and tell them, I was in the special forces, you better listen to me?
I've never done that. I think one of the things that was helpful to me both as a grad school student and as a young person at BCG was in both instances, right? Like I was a little bit older than someone with that same level of seniority. And there was a little bit of built-in credibility, right, that came with my pre-corporate world experience, such that, frequently people would listen. I think, part of that is just the caliber of folks you have at Yale. And, it's not cheap, right, to hire BCG to come in and do work for you. And so I think in both situations, I was probably set up for success, but it'd be interesting to think through how that might have played out.
Oh, fantastic. Let me ask you one final question. Where can people learn more about Adaton? Where can people learn more about your firm?
Yeah, so we're actually on a big product push right now with an application we're working on called Muster, M-U-S-T-R. And so you can go to getmuster.app to learn more about the application itself. What we're doing is, you know, kind of starts with the DoD, but then expands out from there and a lot of the industries that we talked about, is to put this notion of what we understand in defense of accountability front and center, right? And so this idea of, in digital form, how do I give orders? How do I receive orders? How do I ask important questions of large groups of people in such a way that allows me to aggregate information very quickly, to pull insight from information very quickly, and to go action information very quickly. So it's not quite messaging like iMessage or WhatsApp. It's not quite productivity or collaboration like something like Slack or Teams. It's this different sort of thing, right, with accountability at the heart. And we're pretty excited about the early traction we're getting.
Well, very excited for what you've done. Wish you fantastic success. JJ, it is a great pleasure to visit with you, and just fantastic what you're doing and what you've done for the country and what you're doing professionally. So congratulations and thank you.
All right, Scott. Thanks so much for the time.